Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me. And if you're a new listener, I pray that you be blessed by our time together. And as I was waiting before the Lord as to what He would have me share this week, I feel to look at a passage of Scripture and to speak in a very personal way to those of you who are going through great testings and trials. I know from not only personal experience, but people I know, as well as the letters that come in, that these last several years have been a time of great testing. And God wants to, there's always a purpose in the trials and the battles. There may some believe that, well, once you're a Christian, you can just kind of sail through life. You're constantly in victory, walking in strength and overcoming. But beloved, that is not the case. We will be tested. God allows us to experience sometimes the depths of suffering. And I'm not speaking even physically, I'm speaking emotionally, spiritually. And that's why the Word is so precious and so important to us. I was just thinking of a psalm, Psalm 40, a very familiar psalm, I trust, to you, and one that's very dear to my heart because it conveys what God does when we're at our very lowest place. Psalm 40, I will read verses 1 through 3 or 4. No, I'll just read the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. What He is saying in just these few verses is that He was in a horrible pit. This is a man after God's own heart. In many ways, sometimes the life of David is used to illustrate the life of Christ, the things that Jesus suffered. Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered. And so often there are scriptures that we may be very familiar with, but they don't impact us because God has to allow circumstances in our lives that we can relate to it in a greater and deeper measure, not just rationally, intellectually, but on an emotional level, on the level of the soul, on the level that we struggle to walk in the promises of God, the things that He has provided for us. He wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to be delivered from every bondage of the flesh, of the work of the enemy. But not only is He, you know, He just doesn't kind of wave His hand and like a magic wand, everything disappears. Because have you found out that if you've had loved ones or friends that perhaps aren't walking responsibly, or there are basic lessons they need to learn, and you keep helping them out and delivering them, and they don't learn to get it on their own, well, you just have to repeat the process. And that's the mark of a little child. They need to learn by the things that they experience, not to put their hand on the stove because they could be burned. Things like that, we learn by the things that we go through. And so I want to share a passage of Scripture I think that is going to impact you. It has been, I don't know why, it's always been a very favorite of mine. And, you know, I was just thinking of Psalm 40. and I don't want to go off into the depths of biblical numerology, but 40 is the number of testing, and it happens to be the 40th Psalm. All these years, I never thought of that. Jesus was, what, 40 days in the wilderness being tested and tried of the enemy? So we will go through a time of testing, and I never noticed that Psalm 40 is indeed the very Psalm that David is expressing, the very depths of his despair, his discouragement. He just described it as a horrible pit, and I think the Holy Spirit gave him those words, so we could, regardless of what we're going through, whether they're physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, relationship-wise, the things we go through sometimes test us to the uttermost, and we feel we can't go on, because that's how he was in a horrible pit. He couldn't get out by himself, but he cried. What did he call to the Lord? God heard his prayer, took him out of clay. If you ever tried to walk in very deep mud or clay, it's very difficult. You can't make progress. It pulls you down. And so let's just read some verses that the prophet Isaiah spoke to the people of God. Yes, he was speaking to Israel, but he was speaking to every believer until the end of the age. Chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, or his glory, if you will, filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Again, a reference to the glory of God. And then this is Isaiah's response. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. After this cleansing, that last verse, verse 8 says, and also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Beloved, I believe that's an experience that each one of God's children need to experience. We may not be called, as Isaiah was, a major prophet recorded in the Old Testament, or a prophetic minister or vessel of God throughout the ages, because he's never taken his gifts away. We may not have that position, but all of us have a mission and a area, a metron of authority that God has placed in our hearts. You may not think of yourself as very important to the Lord, or even very important to anyone else, but God sees you. If you are alive and breathing, He ordained you to be alive. He created you in your mother's womb. And as long as you're here, He has a work for you to do. And I'm not calling about or talking about busy, frenzied service for Christ. I'm talking about a knowing and a relationship with Him, out of which good works will flow. Remember Jesus, when he was 12 years old, he stayed behind and he was actually teaching in the temple, and his mother and Joseph came back. They were worried because he wasn't with the caravan that was returning home. And he could have begun. They were astounded at the words, the gracious words that proceeded from his mouth. He could have actually began his ministry then, but no, he went back with his parents, his earthly parents, to Nazareth, and lived until he began his ministry and was called at approximately the age of 30. And so even Jesus went through a period of preparation. As I said, he learned obedience. What? The Son of God who was without sin. He learned to do the things that were against perhaps the normal human nature. He limited himself. He divested himself of glory, and he became as one of us in human nature. Physically, he suffered, bled, and died. In his divinity, that's impossible. In order for salvation to be wrought, he had to become just as us. And so, beloved, I'm saying that each of us need a vision that transforms, that we can have an experience in God where we know we simply can't trust in the arm of flesh. And some of you listening have, if you aren't at this point, you can relate to a time when you were in the depths of despair. There are some listening that are in that place right now because of the pressure of circumstances, the influence and the power of environment, the things going on in your life, the relationship issues. And when all is dark and it seems like hope has just died away, God will give us a vision of himself and his glory, and we can once again be restored to that wonderful, intimate, marvelous relationship with him. We never lose it. If we're saved, I'm talking to the saved, and I'm not talking about the unsaved, those that have a relationship with God. But beloved, we can, because of the battles, we can perish if we don't have a vision. That scripture, where there is no vision, the people perish. And going back to Isaiah, it was the third year of Cyrus. He was the king of Tyre. And Daniel had received a transforming vision. It says, for 3 weeks he had mourned and eaten neither bread nor flesh. It was the 24th day of April, when he was down by the great river Hiddekel, that the vision came. And his vision was so glorious with the appearance of the Holy One that he was prostrate under the power of the Lord. And he was told to stand on his feet, and he stood, and the vision opened up to him like a scroll. And the corridors of the years to come, the days in which we are now living in and unfolding, were to become as clear and as plain as the things, the memories of yesterday. And not only did he see the year which was ahead, but far-reaching was his vision. He saw the days of which we are now living. The way was clear, it was bright and unmistakable under the light of the divine presence. He saw and heard events which had not yet come to pass, and this was a transforming vision that Daniel had. Well, my time is gone, and we're going to go back to this scripture. We're talking about a personal vision of God, where our vision, our hope, our faith can be restored. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.